The front office of the Times was seldom attended. There were some tables with copies of the current edition strewn about. There was a counter that Margaret sometimes used to lay out ads. The bell on the front door rang all day long as people came and went. About once a week, a stranger would venture upstairs where my office door was usually open. More often than not, it was some grieving relative there to discuss an upcoming obituary. I looked up one afternoon in March 1979, and there was a gentleman in a nice suit standing at my office door. Unlike Harry Rex, whose entrance began on the street and was heard by everyone in the building, this guy had climbed the stairs without making a sound. His name was Gary McGrew, a consultant from Nashville, whose area of expertise was small-town newspapers. As I fixed a pot of coffee, he explained that a rather well-financed client of his was planning to buy several newspapers in Mississippi during 1979. Because I had 7,000 subscribers, no debt, an offset press, and because we now ran the printing for 6 smaller weeklies plus our own shopper's guides, his client was very interested in buying the Ford County Times. How interested? I asked. Extremely. If we could look at the books, we could value your company. He left, and I made a few phone calls to verify his credibility. He checked out fine, and I collected my current financials. 3 days later, we met again, this time at night. I did not want Wiley or Baggy or anyone else hanging around. News that the Times was changing hands would be such hot gossip that they'd open the coffee shops at 3 a.m. instead of 5. McGrew crunched the numbers like a seasoned analyst. I waited, oddly nervous, as if the verdict might drastically change my life. You're clearing $100,000 after taxes, plus you're taking a salary of $50,000. Depreciation is another 20, no interest because you have no debt. That's 170 in cash flow times the standard multiple of 6, comes to 1,020,000. And the building? I asked. He glanced around as if the ceiling might collapse any moment. These places typically don't sell for much. 100,000, I said. Okay. And 100,000 for the offset press and other equipment. The total value is somewhere in the neighborhood of 1.2 million. Is that an offer? I asked, even more anxious. It might be. I'll have to discuss it with my client. I had no intention of selling the Times. I had stumbled into the business, gotten a few lucky breaks, worked hard writing stories and obituaries, and selling pages of ads, and now, 9 years later, my little company was worth over $1 million. I was young, still single, though I was tired of being lonely and living alone in a mansion with 3 leftover Ho-Cut cats that refused to die. I had accepted the reality that I would not find a bride in Ford County. All the good ones were snatched up by their 20th birthday, and I was too old to compete at that level. I dated all the young divorcees, most of whom were quick to hop in the sack and wake up in my fine home and dream about spending all the money I was rumored to be making. The only one I really liked and dated off and on for a year was saddled with 3 small children. But it's funny what $1 million will do to you. Once it was in play, it was never far from my thoughts. The job became more tedious. I grew to resent the ridiculous obituaries and the endless pressure of the deadlines. I told myself at least once a day that I no longer had to hustle the streets selling ads. I could quit the editorials. No more nasty letters to the editor. A week later, I told Gary McGrew that the Times was not for sale. He said his client had decided to buy 3 papers by the end of the year, so I had time to think about it. Remarkably, word of our discussions never leaked.